Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show at 11 o'clock on Sunday night. And whoever is listening in, I hope you will gain some knowledge and insight. And I hope you will afford you some assistance and help in your thinking, which is always my goal, to have a world of thought and intellect which operates to benefit humanity. And I do not, and this show is not a politically correct show. One of the points, a politically incorrect show, in which our goal is honest discernment, critical thought, and honest truth and facts. Our goal is critical thinking to gain the truth and the facts, and not to be confused by media hype, media slogans, and media lies and media falsehoods, or political rhetoric in general. We're not interested in that on this show. We're interested in facts and truth, and wherever they may lead us to conclude. We cannot be in fear of facts and truth. We should be concerned to know the truth so that we can have the freedom that the truth affords us. Know the truth, as it says, and the truth will make you free. You're free in your thinking. You're free in your life. You're free in the way you live and what you choose to do with your life. That is the freedom that truth affords you. Now, I want to, as I say, the second prong of this show is I'm a Christian. I'm specifically a Lutheran. And I adhere to the ancient creeds of the Church, Nicene, Apostles, or Athanasian Creed. And, of course, I adhere to the full authority of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. This position is not backward. It is the historical position of the Church for 2,000 years. And I myself don't think it's backward. Actually, it's frontward. If you haven't read the Bible, you will be backward, essentially, or in darkness in many ways. The Bible is not a backward book. It's a frontward book. It offers thought and ideas that are in advance of every culture you can imagine. In the world. Second thing is that I run two radio shows, a podcast show and a blog talk show. And these shows are been visited by many people from Muslim countries and from atheist agnostic China, despite their Christian orientation. As a matter of fact, over 4,000 people have visited my podcasts, which have a Christian orientation, and many people visit my blog talk show both from Europe, such as in Germany, Belgium, Ireland, United Kingdom, India, Bangladesh, Malaysia, Japan, and many others, as well as visitors, as I mentioned, from China and Muslim countries. I very much welcome my Muslim brothers and sisters. I have a number of friends in the Muslim world, a girl in Iran who is studying philosophy at one of their major universities, very bright, very astute, extremely well-educated in philosophy, if you're interested in philosophy. She happens to be interested in philosophy. I've also had a Muslim novelist, American, on the show, as well as a scientist from Istanbul who opposes evolution and adheres to the Genesis account of creation, where he found me when I had posted something to that effect. And we really work together quite well in the show. I have visitors from many, many Muslim countries and other countries in the world, as well as the many, many essays I've posted on academia.edu, where many, many persons from many countries in the world do, in fact, read my work. In addition, not only that, I'm also a writer. I've written 10 books. Three of them are Christian books. Two are legal books, and the rest are legal books. And the Christian books have sold rather well. The Essays in the Christian Worldview has been bought by the entire University of California College System, and by the many community colleges and colleges in Louisiana, as well as Dutch universities and German universities, and in Switzerland, the Central Library in Zurich, and as well as a number of very large library facilities in Australia and New Zealand. I also have a book on the parables, which I present my interpretations of the 41 parables in the Bible. And this book has sold well enough. And also I have a book on I'm putting the sayings of Christ on in the Gospels on my website and on my social media, as well as the parables are on my website and social media. And both are partially on academia.edu, where they are constantly read and downloaded. I have written two major journal articles, the Syracuse Law Review, where many European and American libraries and libraries throughout the world and universities throughout the world have bought this book. And most significantly, the United States Supreme Court has bought it, and the State Department has bought it, as well as universities in China and Japan and India. My book, Select Legal Topics, by the way, has been bought by a number of major Indian universities. And the Indian culture has been very welcoming to my essays, and they wanted to post them. And I've sent that to him. India is where a lot of people read a lot, perhaps more so than the United States at this point. And so I also have written a book on sex article on sex discrimination, and in which I was concerned about that particular issue, and that has been bought by many European and American university libraries, as well as by the State Department. It's been bought by libraries in China, Japan, and India. And also, I'm now publishing another article with Academicus, a Albanian scientific group. This article is concerns itself with the educational system and its decline in the United States. I'm hoping it's being published soon, and many people, I hope, will enjoy and like it and gain some knowledge and information from it. I also have been invited to speak and be a panelist on the great World Law Alliance debate, and I'm debating whether I have time to do that. I also have been invited. I'm a candidate for the award as the most elite lawyer and law firm in the world. I have been nominated for that, and I'm being considered as the most elite law firm in world culture at this point. So I have a lot of activities going on. And now I'm going to talk. This show talks about a lot of things in this show, a lot of topics. We talk about politics. I was a backer of President Trump. I think he did a good job. Why he lost, I can't say. I'm not in a position to judge the election process, but I do think he did a good job. He got hostages out of North Korea. He didn't get into a land war in Syria. He protected the jobs of American citizens as opposed to illegal aliens, properly deported them. Those were among others of his achievements in society. There were others, and I could go into them, as I said, I also not only talk about politics in this show, but I talk about Christian belief and Christian thought. It's a very important subject for me. I think Christianity is the true faith. I'm not going to abandon that position for some kind of vague political concept of diversity and universalism. I don't accept that. I believe that Jesus is the true God, true man and true God, and that Christianity is the true and absolute faith that although it is presently being persecuted. for obvious reasons. The truth is always persecuted. No, ladies and gentlemen, I think so. Evil is not persecuted, and it is usually allowed to function until it goes too far. I do also talk about religion, and I talk about, in this show, about literature often, the great English tradition of English literature, and the great American and English writers, which I love literature, and I love books. They're my, the things that I admire and respect. Literature and books are things that engage me and that I respect. I'm not particularly a materialistic person, not that much, but that's one of the things I respect, as well as intellectual activity. So tonight I'm going to talk about something that is very close to my thinking, which concerns me. It's a business of we seem to have two Christmases and two Easters. Now this phenomenon is a there seems to be one of the Christmases which seem to be prevalent, and it's a false concept really, is the commercial Christmas. This Christmas is a time of general goodwill, which is a general atmosphere of liking and genuine goodwill and liking and love, perhaps, and approachability. This Christmas, although Christmas, I have to say, in at least in my area of New York, is not widely publicized as it used to be, but that's the way it is. Maybe we live in a more secular area of the country where Christian belief is not very strong. So the Christmas, which is this commercial Christmas, which is shared by all faiths as a general sort of happy holiday, is closely tied to commerce and money. It is its basis of the commercial Christmas is the merchant's desire to sell goods to make money for themselves. It is somewhat disturbing commentary that at one time Christmas carols concerning the birth of Christ were played on the radio and television to the general public, such as Joy to the World, Little Town of Bethlehem, or Come All Ye Faithful. At least where I live, these carols have been gradually replaced by these sort of commercial Christmas songs, which are maybe perhaps we don't want to offend the diverse faiths in our country. Maybe that's why the Christmas is being commercialized and it's been made into a general happy holiday. And maybe that's why the religious carols, such as A Little Town of Bethlehem or Joy to the World or Come All Ye Faithful, have been gradually replaced by kind of generalized Christmas songs, secular, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or Santa Claus is Coming to Town. So what are we going to say here? This Christmas of general goodwill and gift-giving is closely associated with Christmas trees and Christmas decorations. This sort of celebration has its origins in the pagan world as some sort of winter festival. And this Christmas is the Christmas that has come to dominate our Western society, or at least society in the United States and Europe. This sort of commercialized gift-giving, et cetera, Christmas trees, which has a pagan origin, by the way. So that's the situation. Of course, now we have to understand the confusion here about Christmas and what is the true celebration of Christmas. There's a second Christmas, which is celebrated by a thinner and thinner minority. This minority concerns itself with the birth of Christ, or shall we say more exactly, the incarnation or God taking the form of a human being. And for Christians, this Christmas which is the true Christmas, is a joy and fear. It's a joy because God, we believe, as Christians, this is the ultimate Christian celebration. God entered human history and took the form of humanity. It is a recognition. It is a recognition that Christmas, Jesus coming into human history and taking the form of a man from his Godhead in heaven. It is a fear because this Christmas is a recognition. This Christmas makes people uncomfortable if they knew about it, because it's the recognition that mankind, both men and women, are misdirected, twisted, corrupt, and in need of help. So this the true meaning of Christmas has been largely lost in the glitter, noise, and noise that assaults us, our minds and ears, from October through January. So this is the real Christmas, which is kind of hidden and not publicized because of the very secularized, diverse culture we live in, which is fine. There's freedom of religion. I agree with that. But I'm not about to abandon the true nature of Christmas, which is God entering human history in the person of Christ. And that entrance is directed to both men and women and mankind who are misdirected, twisted, corrupt, in need of help. So the true meaning of Christmas, Jesus becoming a man, taking the form of a human being, has been largely lost in the glitter and noise that involves Christmas. Christmas is none of this commercial nonsense. That is a lie. It is an excuse to make money, which is a terrible fault of our system, that everything is connected with money, including Jesus Christ, the God of all humanity and mankind. So Christmas is God entering into human history at a particular point in time, and the reason for this entrance was to repair a broken humanity between man and God. It is a time for celebration and joy because God has entered human history to rescue humanity from their terrible encasement in sin, but it's also a recognition that the repair was necessary. Now, many people in our society, Christians or whoever they are, various faiths, they go along with a commercial Christmas, but they're largely, perhaps don't even know about the true Christmas or indifferent to it. They may not even know about it because it's hidden among the Christmas trees and gifts and the songs, which are non-Christian and non-religious. So most, if not all, people reject the Christian Christmas, perhaps, or don't know about it, or are indifferent to it. But the true Christmas is God making a claim on the human mind and on humanity through his Son. It is God entering human history and making a claim to rescue us from our sins by becoming a human being. And we have to recognize that this commercial Christmas is an example of the values, the incorrect values of the world and its error. Therefore, the world's rejection of the Christian Christmas is mistaken, because that's not Christmas. That is the capitalist version of making money in what was formerly a very significant religious event, and still is. Therefore, the world's rejection of the Christian Christmas is mistaken, because at least on this level, they are not acknowledging the true nature of Christmas and what it is. The world, so let's look at the world's values. It's not Christmas. It's not Jesus taking the form of a man in a humble stable. It's not dying on a cross. It's none of those things. The world's values are self-love, dominance, the acquisition of wealth, power, and selfishness and greed. So the fact that our society, in some sense, will not recognize the Christian Christmas is an admission on the part of the world system, essentially, misunderstanding the religious holiday annexus system is an admission that is completely erroneous and wrong. And let me say also about Easter. Easter has been connected with also with commercialism and money. And there's a lot of talk about the Easter Bunny and Easter egg hunts. This is, again, the commercial sector moving in on this very important religious holiday. And this Easter, in reality, is the resurrection of Christ and his offer of eternal life and conquering death. That's Easter. That's what it really is. And once again, our society has taken over commercially that holiday, that religious holiday, which offers us resurrection, which offers us newness of life through the resurrected Christ and entrance into heaven and eternal life and conquering death. That's the real Easter. And it's confused and is X'd out by this commercial holiday of Easter Bunny and Easter eggs. If you want to know about this topic, please take a look at my book, Essays in the Christian Worldview, page 45, entitled The Two Christmases. I hope I've cleared up a lot of confusion here about what's going on. And I'm really concerned, as I say, as usual, I am concerned with lies. Not interested. I'm interested in Christ and his birth. I'm interested in his resurrection. I'm not interested in Easter eggs, Easter bunnies, Christmas trees, or giving or gift giving, or a general sense of well-being. This is nonsense. It's a lie. It's connected with commerce and money, which is obviously the most absurd basis to believe anything to be true, that it makes money. Okay, I hope you've enjoyed this show. And tomorrow night, I will again be talking once again about the issue of race and class. I think you'll find it interesting. I reject, by the way, you should know as a Christian, class demarcations and racial demarcations. Not interested, not true. All right. I hope you've enjoyed this show. Bye.